Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. When school choice advocates sold state lawmakers on the supposed benefits of charter schools back in the 1990s, they promised that loose oversight would allow the schools to serve as laboratories of innovation for the entire education system. The reality, unfortunately, has turned out quite different. While some charters do fine work, few innovations have seeped into traditional schools. What's more, a number of charters have run into serious problems. Recently, NC Policy Watch education reporter Greg Childress reported on an Eastern North Carolina charter called Three Rivers Academy that allegedly padded enrollment numbers, paid families so students would attend class, fudged student records, and took other troubling actions to keep state funds flowing. Earlier this week, I sat down with Greg to discuss the situation at Three Rivers and why state officials are so concerned.
Well, Greg Childress, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me, Rob. How's everything going?
It's good. It's an amazing start to the new year, already an active one. And you've had a pair of exclusive reports in recent weeks about a troubling situation involving a charter school in Bertie County and the for-profit management company that manages it and a Raleigh charter school that it manages. And I want to delve into those details. But I was thinking, before we do that, let's take a step back for a second, maybe, and remind our listeners about some of the basics of North Carolina's experiment with charter schools. It's been, gosh, about a quarter of a century now that since we created these things. Has there been a disconnect between what the vision of charter schools was and how it sort of worked out in North Carolina?
Charter schools started, as you said, about a quarter century ago. And they were intended to be laboratories for learning innovation. The idea was that the charter schools were supposed to come up with new ideas and better ways to educate our children, and then share those innovations with the traditional public schools. I can't find very many, if any, examples of that actually happening in North Carolina. It's quite possible that it might occur in other parts of the country, but in North Carolina, I haven't found any examples of it. So here's an invitation to anyone who might know it, be glad to hear about them and actually write about them.
So, Greg, it's not clear that charter schools have really produced the kind of widely shared innovations that had been promised, but we have continued to grow the number. It seems that, as a general matter, the General Assembly is convinced that this is something to keep expanding, and there are a lot of charter schools now across North Carolina.
Yes, there are more than 200 charter schools and more coming. They tend to be popular in North Carolina, and they seem to be thriving and doing well in some areas. I actually got a call from a journalist out of Virginia earlier this week. He wanted some information about North Carolina's charter schools because he said the governor there is thinking about modeling Virginia's program after one in North Carolina. So across the country, charter schools in North Carolina, the charter school program here is seen as a good example of what charter schools can be when they're done well, I guess.
Certainly some have done well. These are public schools, but they, in some instances, are actually run by private entities, nonprofits, or in some instances, for-profit entities. And in some instances, it's clear that some of these situations have not worked out well. And you've done some reporting recently on a charter school in Bertie County, down east part of North Carolina, called Three Rivers Academy. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about what's been going on and with the for-profit management company that oversees that school.
So the management company is Torchlight Academy Schools, I think is the full name of it. And it's run and operated by Don McQueen, who is from Raleigh. And he also runs Torchlight Academy, a longstanding charter school that's won some praise in recent years for meeting growth expectations for its students and actually leading the state in charter school growth, academic growth. But at Three Rivers, it's been one big mess. And the State Board of Education, following the recommendation of the Charter School Advisor Board, has ordered the school close. It's my understanding that Three Rivers, Don McQueen, has appealed that decision. So it remains to be seen what happens next. But at Three Rivers, they ran into some trouble with their EC programs.
Exceptional Children.
Yeah, Exceptional Children's Program, the program that oversees the services for children with special needs. And the same thing happened at Torchlight. I spoke with a principal, former principal at Three Rivers, and he gave us some insight into going on. charter schools are constantly trying to make sure they have enrollment because the money, the state funding, and the local funding follows students for the most part. And so Three Rivers was under-enrolled, according to the former principal. And Don McQueen and his wife, Cynthia McQueen, were very aggressive in their recruitment. Even so, to the point where the former principal, Hans Lasser is his name, told Policy Watch that they were paying students to attend. There was also stories about the McQueen standing in front of the Family Dollar store recruiting parents. Another story about the McQueens raffling off a car to get parents to sign their students up. So one of the big issues with charter schools, and when you're talking about special needs children and exceptional children's programs, the federal rules are strict. And there's some concern about whether McQueen's have strictly followed those rules. At Torchlight, just shifting gears to Torchlight, the state monitors found some altered documents where children's individual education plans, their IEPs, were changed to make them look like current IEPs, which is a big no-no. Can't do that. IEPs can't be changed unless there are meetings with parents and IEP teams on the campus. And there's no evidence that that happened. So when it comes to Torchlight and Three Rivers, the next month or so will tell whether those schools will remain open.
So I gather this happened because there was some oversight that's provided by DPI officials. They look at these schools, they check the records. They found this, which is, it's good to know there was at least that level of oversight. There are hundreds of charter schools across North Carolina. Is this the kind of oversight that's being provided in all those schools?
Charter schools are monitored on a rotating basis. The state keeps a close eye on them. In the case of Three Rivers and Torchlight, it was through this state-operated software where they discovered the altered records at Torchlight. It was through that program that they discovered the altered documents, and they continued to monitor the school following that discovery.
It'll be fascinating to see whether this leads to any, you know, additional rethinking of the charter experiment. I mean, the fact that a school could get away with altering basic documents, one of the critiques that's been leveled at charter schools, of course, is that you've pointed out the innovations, the new experiments that were supposed to percolate their way into traditional public schools really hasn't developed. So it's come down to a question of whether individual schools are succeeding. Some seem to be, some seem not to be. One wonders whether evidence like this will lead state officials or maybe even the General Assembly to take a little closer look at this experiment. But I gather at this point, there's no real indication that that's going to happen anytime soon.
With charter schools, their success and failure, it's a mixed bag. It's not a lot different from traditional public schools. Schools that are performing well, they're usually schools that have kids from upper income, higher income.
Right.
And those aren't doing as well are usually the economics of the situation. It's not much different with charter schools. At Three Rivers Academy, where we just discussed, if I'm remembering correctly, 99% of the kids were African-American kids, many of them from economically disadvantaged homes. And so in addition to some fiscal concerns about whether money was being spent appropriately at Three Rivers for EC kids, they also had some concerns about the academic performance. The school was low performing, and I don't think they've ever had a state grade above a D. And so these are big concerns. I will say this. The rub on charter schools has been that they do not have proper oversight from the state. In this case, it'd be hard to make that case against the state. Yeah. They've actually looked at this very closely. And over the past two or three years, I've noticed that the charter school advisory board has taken a harder line on schools that aren't measuring up.
As we come to the end of our time with Greg Childress, education reporter for NC Policy Watch, the final question that occurs, it's another sort of overarching question, and you've hinted at it in some of the references you've made already. Segregation in the schools, they clearly seem to be in many instances mirroring, sadly, our traditional public schools in that we see racial and economic segregation, and not surprisingly, the schools that have a upper income student body and that require things like to go to our high school, you have to already know something about algebra, which is the case in some of these charter schools. Not surprisingly, those schools do pretty well. And the schools that don't have those kinds of requirements and maybe draw from a pool of families that are struggling, you know, aren't doing as well. It seems that the issue of segregation, the fact that charters are sort of even abetting that problem, certainly not doing much about it, is another issue probably, you know, I think some critics would say needs to be addressed.
yes, you know, what do you do about that? I remember an editor told me once, we were discussing segregation of schools, and he said, you know, hey, parents are calling me about this. And I, you know, he said, parents are calling me about this. And I was doing the efforts in Durham, North Carolina to racially balance schools. And parents in here were reluctant to change schools and switch their kids to a more diverse school setting.
Yeah.
And so this always sticks out to me. He said, hey, you know, parents only have one chance to educate their children, and they don't want to take any chance on getting it wrong. And so when you have parents who feel that way, and in Durham, many Black parents felt the same way, how do you change that? And that's something we'll continue to report on and delve into.
Well, we sure hope so. It's one of the most important issues that faces our state. We're so glad to have you on the beat covering education for us here in North Carolina. Greg, keep up the good work. We'll look for more investigations and exclusive reports in the days and weeks ahead on this and other issues related to public schools. Hang in there.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.